We have witnessed all around us, or perhaps even been caught up in it as victims, or even reciprocated in kind by being quick to respond, quick to raise a fist, seek revenge, quick to anger, losing control of our emotions, giving in to sin, not thinking before we act, acting on assumption rather than actuality. You know, it is easy to allow ourselves to get caught up in all of this, especially if something is said about us which happens to be untrue, or if something happens where we are absolutely certain that it's not the case, but the other thinks otherwise. Also, when there are disagreements, when we are put on the spot for our mistakes, or even our beliefs, when we are questioned by the things that we do, when we are accused of having done something that others may not like, whether it be right or wrong, the ultimate question being, how do we respond? That's always the question. How do we respond? When we respond in the ways I have described, we lack self-control, which often leads to an outcome of negative consequences. However, by taking control of our actions in the way we respond requires composure. And that is what I want to talk about today, is composure. Let's look at an example. How about an athlete? We see this many times on TV. It seems like every time I watch a game on TV, I will see that. A person is whistled for committing a foul, whether it was right or wrong. The player then gets upset and starts complaining, thereby losing his or her composure. Now, if they go too far, they will get penalized even further, possibly even being ejected from the game, which, as a result, will affect the whole team. So, instead they get angry, not thinking about their team, but they think about themselves at that moment, and they lose their composure. You know, oftentimes I have been a victim of that too, or I have myself been doing that when I was playing in the game, and I get fouled, or I get called for a foul that I know I didn't commit, but the ref saw otherwise. You know, if you're always going to blame somebody, it's always the ref, right? And be as it may, if they're right or wrong, you know, you're going to find some blame towards that person. The problem is, after the foul has already been called, there's nothing much you can do except complain or go forward. Now, the coach is the one who should hold the most composure, since they are the ones that the players will listen to. But there's been a lot of times when there's a foul committed, the player doesn't even react, but the coach does, and thereby he or she gets kicked out of the game because of their complaining. And oftentimes when that happens, the team will not end up winning because now they don't have a coach to listen to. But that's where it's very important to seek composure like that, and it is tough to do. And I've seen where coaches have not reacted where they rightly so could have because of a bad call, but they kept their composure. And they said, let's focus on the next play, or let's focus on the rest of the game. Who cares about what happened? Because once you start losing your composure, you will start losing the game. Play mad, play bad. That's the saying, and oftentimes when you are angry, you're going to lose your focus, and you're not going to play the way you're supposed to. Now, looking at this analogy, let's apply it to ourselves, because we are supposed to be peacemakers, and we're supposed to have that self-control. We can't let ourselves fall apart, but need to stay intact when we are faced with adversity. There are many examples in the Bible of people who have been faced with such adversity, and the one I'm going to focus on is someone who was constantly tested by how he would respond. And as none other than Jesus Christ. Let's look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we have the situation of the adulterous woman caught in the act. And in chapter 8, verse 3, we read the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him, to Christ, a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But notice here how Christ reacts. No, he doesn't just start accusing them of wrong and things like that and start yelling and all that. But notice how he composed himself and how he reacted. Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, so they continued to pester him on this, to bring this issue up, to see how he would respond. He raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. That's all he did. And we already know what happened as a result. No one threw a stone because of their conscience. Because everybody sins, is the point. But notice how he took care of that situation and how he had that self-control. And many wonder what he was doing during that time he wrote on the ground. With his finger and wrote on the ground, perhaps writing the names of those who were accusing him. Also, during that time, he had to himself, could have thought, to pray to his father and how he's going to act and react. And I'm going to go over that later on. Next example, let's look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 50 through 54. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And this is when the accuser came to take him. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Now, you would think here, if you're in that situation, you know, how would you react, right? But notice what Jesus did to react in that way. Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" Obviously, Christ could have done that. But then verse 54, the reason why he did not, because how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way? Going on further to chapter 27 and verse 39 through 44, this is now while Christ is being crucified. And notice what is going on here and how he responds to this. In verse 39 of chapter 27, "Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroyed a temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." Out of all those things that are thrown at him when he is on the cross, all the things that they are accusing him of and saying, you know, testing him to see if he will prove to them, you know, that he is, well, what they're accusing him of doing or tempting him of. Notice his response, though, in Luke 23 and verse 34. Would we be of the like mindset if ever in a situation like that? Luke 23, verse 34. Let me go to the right one. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So he asked for forgiveness. Obviously, looking more to ultimately after they repent, but the point being, they had no idea what they were doing. And he asked for forgiveness of them. See, with this kind of an attitude and with this kind of mindset, we are to do the same thing. We are to imitate Christ. He had a great deal of composure when being accused many times, when put on the spot, specifically on these examples that I just gave. He managed to, in all the pressures he was faced with and the demands of the ministry, he managed to maintain his composure to do the will of his Father. Are we not supposed to do the same? We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, those of us who are baptized. We have this within us to help us and get. And it is through God's grace in our lives that enables us to respond to the pressures of life with the same composure that Jesus Christ had, where he responded in similar situations. As Christ walked through the storms of life, keeping his composure, we are to do the same. And this is what God expects of us, that we are to conduct ourselves both inwardly and outwardly with the same character and grace that Jesus did when he was on this earth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He shares his compassion with us because he had experienced the same trials and temptations that we go through. So I'm going to read the next verse on that one. Because the next verse tells us what we are supposed to do, what we will achieve when we apply ourselves in the correct manner. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." On that thought, let us go back now to how we are to respond when in sudden situation, when we are perhaps put on the spot. How do we keep our composure? You know, to be a good leader, you need to have composure. This also applies to being a good teacher. This also applies to being good parents. This also applies to being good listeners. Remember, that day is going to come when all of us are going to be teachers. All of us that are worthy are going to be teachers. When we will teach the whole world God's way of life. And having that composure is a valuable tool. We're going to be faced with trials yet. People are still going to be disagreeing on certain things that we may say, even now. We can't lose ourselves when something is said that we don't like or that we don't agree with, especially when we are being criticized or being accused. We have to do as the Scripture tells us, how we are to act. And let's look at James chapter 1, 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." By applying the grace of God in our lives, a valuable tool that we should never be without, and can most certainly help us in any given situation, one valuable tool, very important, is prayer. We can apply prayer any time. We can apply it any moment, in any environment, for however long we want to, whenever we need help. It can be for even the simplest things, like, okay, I'm being put on the spot right now. I'm saying there are things being said about me, so how do I respond? You breathe. One deep breath. And guess what? During that deep breath, you could have already said a prayer. you could have already asked, how am I going to respond to this situation? It's all it takes. Instead of seeking to respond in a way which is typically our initial reaction, let's try another approach, that of composure, which is defined as the state of feeling or being calm and in control of oneself.